Truly, it is an honor to be here with you, brethren. Our purpose is to glorify our Heavenly Father, magnify His Son, Jesus Christ, and amplify the teaching of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. I truly am so happy to see all of you I've already met before and known for many years. Galen and all of his wonderful family, Lauren and Shirley, it's been so good to be with you, brethren, and to share the good blessings of God Almighty with all of us as we study His holy and divine will. I'm truly grateful and honored to be here with you. The lesson that Galen asked me to present is called Attributes of a Christian. And I appreciate that thought very much, and the theme of your meeting, Back to Basics, is certainly a wonderful theme, because if and when we do all live our lives according to the basics, we will have all of the attributes of Jesus Christ that we ought to have, the Word of God furnishes for us. Matthew 28 and verse 20, before Jesus ascended into heaven, He said, "Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Included in that are all of the attributes that God has for us as Christians. I want to start my lesson by going to Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But it's not I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." I want to simply say that as I preach my lesson tonight, I want you to think about the word attributes, and I'm going to literally try to emphasize AT, which is the word at, and mention and show that our location is Jesus Christ. When someone asks me where I am at, I tell them I'm in Jesus Christ. They ask me, I'm a Christian, I'm at Jesus Christ. And so when you think of the word at, tributes, you think of Jesus Christ and all of the tributes that we give to Him as Christians by our character and by the characteristics that we develop based upon the Word of God, and also those characteristics that we develop that Jesus Christ says would be imitating Him and following Him, are the tributes we give to our Master and our Savior. And so the letter AT at is location. The letter for the word tributes is honor, glory, and praise. Now regarding our Savior, that's what we do. Everything we say, do, and think as we live our lives should be to honor, glory, and praise our Savior and our King. The Word of God gives at tributes to Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy 6:15, who in His own time will show who is the blessed and only potentate. What a tribute! Who only hath immortality, whom the Word of God says no man can see or has seen, to whom be glory and honor and power eternal forever. And in that passage, the tribute is given, King of kings and Lord of lords. So the Word of God teaches us that we give at, that's location, Jesus Christ, tributes He deserves. King of kings, Lord of lords, only has immortality, and He dwells in light no man can approach unto, and to Him belong glory, honor, and power eternal forever. And another at tribute for Jesus Christ is in Colossians 2 and verse 9. The Word of God says, "We are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. That's verse 10. And we understand that Jesus Christ is indeed supreme, the powerful one, the potentate, whose message and teaching is potent in regards to salvation for each and every one of us, and whose words are so potent that they destroy the devil and all of his works and kill false doctrine that may be going around the world. But when I said at tributes, at is location. In Ephesians 1 verse 3, Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." That's location. So what tributes we can offer to God depends on where we are at. And we're in Christ. We're Christians. And so based upon that theme then, I'd like for us to study this particular lesson. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 mentions the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. I have always looked at this passage in three different divisions of thought. One is the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Those are tributes that we offer to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And again, peace or long-suffering and gentleness and goodness are the tributes Christ has given us to deal with our fellow man. These are things we use toward others in our relationships. But again, notice he says meekness, self-control, and faithfulness. These are tributes that we develop toward ourselves that Christ wants us to have toward ourselves so that we can be a walking, talking, living tribute to Christ because of where we're at. We're in Christ. We reflect him. We teach him by what we say and what we do and the attitude we possess. We are giving at tributes to God and to his Son, Jesus Christ. But again in Ephesians 4, 34. Ephesians 4, verse 24 to 34. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Neither let the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather let him labor working with his hands, a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might administer grace unto the hearers. Notice again, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And he follows in verse 1 of chapter 5, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet smelling savor unto God. So we understand then from these passages that there are characteristics and fruit of the Spirit that we bear that glorifies God. And you might call them attributes or attributes of a Christian. But bear this in mind, I could not have any attributes that are good, that could honor and praise God and glorify him if it were not for Jesus Christ. So it all goes back to Jesus Christ, where I'm located. Realize that the Christian who realizes he's rooted and grounded and built and belongs and located in Christ Jesus has an attribute indeed. Because he's not probably going to waver or stumble or fall. He's going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as he knows his labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. But rather than go into all of these attributes and characteristics of a Christian tonight, I believe I pointed my lesson in the direction of understanding two things. One, location. And two, tributes. I want you to think about that. One attribute that we can give to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God is affection. Affection. How important is it? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, and all thy might. And the second commandment is like to it, love thy neighbor as thyself. Love is not a cheap word, it's a rich word. It's not a word that means something mushy-gushy. It means a commitment and a decision. You should love the Lord so much that every decision that you make has already been made in advance based upon your love for Christ and love for God. What an attribute to have. Because we're located in Christ, we want to pay tribute to Christ. And the way my life pays tribute to Jesus Christ is that I love His Heavenly Father and Him and the Holy Spirit and the church and the Word of God with all my heart and my soul and my strength and my mind. And I love my fellow man in so much that I would lay down my life to try to teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. But again, in Matthew 10 and verse 34 through 39, Jesus has a great lesson on love. One that is so rich and so deep that it's hard for us to comprehend exactly the depth of it. Jesus said, think not I'm come to send peace on earth. I did not come to send peace, but a sword. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, his daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies shall be they of his own household. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. But because we are located in Christ, we can pay tribute to God by loving Him so much and so deep and so rich and so strong that even if my mother or my father or my wife or my son or my daughter, anyone in my family tries to come between me and my God, they are going to be left behind because I've already made the decision based on my love and my tribute to Christ that He is Umaro number one. Anyway, He's first place in our life. And so, this is what we are talking about. And there are people in this world who have been baptized into Christ and their own mothers and fathers disowned them. That's where this comes in. But again, another attribute that we're going to discuss tonight is reverence for the Word of God. I believe that every problem mankind has today in this world comes from the fact that they do not reverence God's Word and it is not to them final authority as it ought to be. And when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, when the devil had mentioned to him, why, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. I know you're hungry. He had fasted and went without food for over 40 days. And Jesus said to him, and this was Jesus' tribute to his Father, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. What a tribute Jesus Christ paid to his heavenly Father, because he was God and he was God's Son. And he teaches us by this very answer that we need to have this tribute to God our Father as he did. And we need to put his word above everyone else's word. And we need to follow him, not ourselves or Satan. Jesus Christ teaches us then, also in John 12:48, he that rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The word that I've spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. So here is another tribute to Jesus Christ and the word from his heavenly Father that he gave to us today by inspiration. The word of God plainly teaches what a tribute this was. Jesus was saying to mankind, you can't live without my Father's word, and you will be judged by my Father's word. What a tribute to the powerful, outstanding Word of God. The Word of God is powerful and living and sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder to the joint and the marrow and the soul and the spirit. And it discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart of man. Hebrews 4:12. So what a tribute to the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we teach and preach the gospel, and as we conform our lives to it, we are also giving tribute in Christ to God our Heavenly Father. Paul did when he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power, it's the dynamite of God unto salvation, unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Because here's another tribute. In the gospel of Christ is the righteousness of God revealed, even as it is written, and from faith to faith, even then is revealed that we should live, the just should live by faith. So beyond a doubt then, these are attributes that a child of God has and gives to God himself and to the Son, Jesus Christ. But again, another attribute of a child of God is to believe in the name of Jesus Christ as being supreme and sovereign in this great universe. So much so, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men wherein, in location, in we must be saved. So when we choose to obey the gospel and we're baptized by faith in Christ Jesus, we're paying tribute to the God of heaven for salvation he has given to mankind. There was no salvation possible without Jesus Christ. And everyone who submits to the gospel and becomes a Christian, his life becomes a tribute inside, outside, over and above everything else when he serves God as a Christian should. Because in Romans 8 verse 16, Paul said, we are heirs of God. What a tribute. And joint heirs with Christ. Emphasize tribute. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together with him. So here is an attribute of a child of God. And that is that we believe so strongly in the name of Jesus Christ, I would not dare wear another. I will defend it to the death. I will wear it with dignity and honor. I will be faithful while I'm wearing it, because I believe in the name of Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only has immortality. But again, another attribute of a child of God is the appreciation they have for the precious blood of Jesus Christ that flowed down from Calvary, shed for the sins of the world. Look in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Paul, standing between two eternities, is seeing the picture that was present in the mind of Almighty God for salvation when he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." What a tribute to God the Father in Jesus Christ, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Where is forgiveness at, beloved? It's in Christ. It's located in Christ. That passage gives tribute to the Master and the Savior and the King, who lovingly and unselfishly came from heaven to earth, died for our sins upon the cross, that we might have atonement, we might have forgiveness, we might have reconciliation with God our Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ is where it's at, and we are in Christ. So when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're paying tribute to God. When we live a holy and godly, pure life every single day, realizing the value of the blood of Christ, we are giving tribute unto the God of heaven as we live our lives. And also, when we realize that we're in sin and we have it pointed out to us, or we notice it ourselves, and we repent and ask God for forgiveness, we are paying at tributes to God when we repent and when we pray. Because at is Christ, and forgiveness is located in his blood. And so through his blood and by his name, we come to God our Heavenly Father, penitent and sorry for our sin, and desiring and wanting to be forgiven and to live right before the living God. Children of God that fall away from God have lost their attributes to God. They've forgotten how precious and valuable the Son of God's blood really is. They've forgotten they were purged from their old sins. They have trod underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant unholy. And so it's such an important tribute that we give to God when we repent genuinely every day and ask for forgiveness of our sins. But also, another attribute that we give to God through Christ is the church of Christ and the singularity of it. When we are so single-minded, no one could convince us otherwise. There's only one church. There's only one body. There's only one kingdom. There's only one salvation in Christ. And so, the Word of God says in Ephesians 5:23, that just as the church is subject to Christ, so should the husband be, a wife be subject to the husband in everything. Why? Verse 23 said, because he is the Savior of the body. What a tribute to give to God through Christ. Location, I'm in the body. Location, I'm in the church of Christ. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else. No denomination that man could build, no church that he could ever establish, no kingdom he could ever set up would ever have any way to touch the preeminence of the church of Christ that wears the holy name of the Savior, Jesus Christ, and follow his teaching. There's only one church in which man can be saved in, and that is, of course, the church of Christ, Romans 16 and verse 16. And Paul goes on and says in verse 17, you mark them, which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to this doctrine or the doctrine you've learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. People all over this world and every religion on the face of the earth are not giving tribute to God. They're giving tribute to the devil or themselves, because they're not in Christ where tributes can be offered unto God in the first place. You see, some people in the church somehow think that the Church of Christ is just another denomination, or maybe the best of all denominations. That's not the singularity of thinking and believing and following that Jesus Christ has given to us today. When Christ died on the cross, he purchased the church that bears his name with his own blood. There's only one, and the Word of God plainly says Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Colossians 1 and verse 18. But again, the Word of God teaches us that we give attributes unto God through Christ when we willing to put on and wear with honor and courage the whole armor of God, the panoply, if you please, of God Almighty. Look in Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, have on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You see, this is a tribute that we as soldiers in the mighty army of the Almighty give to God through Christ when we put on all of these articles of our spiritual uniform and wear them with dignity and courage and face the devil head on and take a stand for righteousness, even if it means our life. We are willing to lay down our lives and all that we have for the glory and majesty of Almighty God. Soldiers that are that well equipped mentally, spiritually, and they have chosen to be a soldier in the Lord's army, are not only combat ready, but they are willing to stand out there and fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto they were called, and as Timothy did, confess a good confession in the sight of many witnesses, 1 Timothy 6:12. So we need them to put on the whole armor of God. But the armor is only available, location, in Christ Jesus. So it's an attribute to be a soldier in the Lord's army. And the first four letters of the word soldier is what being a Christian is all about. I'm sold on serving God. I'm sold on giving my life for him. I'm sold on reading and studying and praying and giving. I'm sold on trying to lay down my life to preach and teach the Word of God unto others. I'm sold on correcting myself when I'm wrong. I'm sold on trying to teach my neighbor and friend the gospel of Christ. And I'm sold on it to the point that even if my government turns against me, I will do it anyway. Example, California Supreme Court. Homosexuality. We still preach against it. It's still a sin, and it always will be a sin, since God sent down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah from out of heaven. Genesis 19 and verse 24. That was a tribute. That hot, fiery day was a tribute to the holiness and the righteousness of Almighty God. The hottest day on record, perhaps, in this world that we have ever lived in, that day was a tribute to the exact righteousness and holiness of God. When I take a stand against all sin, including that one, fornication and adultery and all the others, then I'm giving an apt tribute to the righteousness and holiness of God. Again, another attribute of a Christian is the fragrance of righteousness he exerts in his influence as a Christian. How does a Christian smell? He smells sweet, righteous, holy, godly. And the Word of God, remember, said in Ephesians 1:4 that God wanted to present us, location, in Christ to be holy, H-O-L-Y, and without blame before Him in love. You know what holy means? Listen to this. It means unique, special, different, one of a kind, in a class by itself, and none other like it. That's what a Christian is, and by being that kind of a spiritual, godly person serving God, we give off the fragrance of righteousness to everyone round about us. We're letting our light shine so that others may see the glory and majesty of God and be led to Him, you see. So my influence as a Christian is so important. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. And when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with great exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and God rest upon you. On their part, He is evil spoken of, but on your part, He is glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, thief, or as an evildoer, a busybody, in other men's matters. If I live that kind of life, I'm no tribute to Christ. I'm a tribute to the devil and his deceptive power. But He said, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, rather let him glorify God in this name. When I wear the name Christian, which is Christ-owned, Christ-like, Christ-possessed, then I give tribute to the one that I am suffering for and His holy name. Location in Christ, when we suffer as a Christian, we're giving attribute or attribute unto the Lord in a way that no one else on this earth can come close to. Even if we're suffering, even if we're killed, or even if people try to take everything away from us of a carnal nature in this world, when I hold on to my faith, I'm giving attribute to my Master and my Lord and my Savior. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, Jesus teaches us in what we commonly call the Sermon on the Mount. He tells us that we're like salt and we're like light. He said, you're the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing. What a statement. Good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it may give light to all that's in the house. Even so, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, I'm a candle burning bright. I'm a torch in the night. I want to be a little matchstick, perhaps. I want to be a light of a neon light. I want to be a beacon light. I want to be a light that everyone around me can see so that they can have honor to tribute to God, like I as a Christian am trying to do, you see. Because I believe that was the purpose of God, to create a humanity that would give Him tribute and praise and honor and glory of their own free will and by surrender and by godly living and godly thinking. they would glorify God, and everyone round about them would be led like a magnet to the God of heaven and His holy word. Again, another attribute that we can give to God as Christians is recognition. What is my worth and my value to God? What an attribute for me to realize and you to realize that I'm worth the blood of the Son of God to my Heavenly Father. I'm worth the most supreme sacrifice God the Father ever made. That's what I'm worth in value to God, because Christ died for every man. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might be saved through Him, or live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. When we love one another, brethren, as rich and deep and pure, without hypocrisy as we should, we're paying at tribute to the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. And we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. How much effort are you doing when men and women who are in Christ, located in Him, your brothers and your sisters, when they begin to fall by the wayside? Are you willing to lay down your life to go teach them, reach them on the phone, go camp on their doorstep, send them a telegram or an email or however we can contact them, to tell them how much we love them and how much they're giving up by not serving God in a faithful, committed way? We need to realize the worth and value that we are to God. The church was purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. When we try to save souls that have never obeyed the gospel, or try to rescue those that have fallen away from God, we're giving tribute at location the mercy and grace and power of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. How much mercy does God have? What kind of power does He possess? What kind of grace does He offer? It's location. It's in Christ. It's all the grace we need to save us from every terrible, awful, horrible sin that's ever been committed on planet Earth. And God has lists of sins in several places in the Bible. And He also says, and such like, in Galatians 5:19 through 21. And Romans chapter 1, 24 to 32. And Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 all the way through verse 11 in other passages, are lists of sins that man commits. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 to 19. Isaiah 59. And the whole chapter talks about sin. And I tell you this, when we live a state of holy and godly life and eliminate sin from our lives, that's the greatest tribute we could ever give to God, because we would not be offending His holy righteousness and His holy godliness and His holy character. Because when I choose to live above sin, I make a choice. I make a sacrifice, moment by moment, not to live in sin. You know, some people surprise me in Christ when they tell me we're discussing the Scriptures. Christ never sinned because He was programmed not to sin when He came into this world. He's the Son of God. Why Hebrews 4:15 then? Word of God said He was tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin. The great reason, one of them, that I love and respect Christ so highly for is that He made His life moment by moment and temptation by temptation, and he chose never to sin. No matter how pleasurable it looked to him, no matter how much it cost him, no matter how much he thought it would bring him joy, he realized that there's a greater spiritual Father in heaven to serve. So he said, I am come down from God out of heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that has sent me. John chapter 6 and verse 38. We understand then that Jesus Christ then is location. I'm a Christian. The tribute that I can give to God through Christ is awareness. A Christian who is so well matured in his spiritual mind, he's learned to discern good from evil. He's learned to take advantages of opportunities. He's learned to pray to God for strength and to admit his weaknesses. And one who's willing to grow and work at it every single day, and one who develops the awareness that God sees and hears and knows everything I say, do, and think in this life. You know, godliness consists of two things: God-likeness and God-awareness. If you can understand that, you can understand that in Hebrews 4:13, there is not a creature that is not manifest in his sight. For all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4:13. So, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, God says through John, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. When we are faithful to God, and we don't hit and miss, when we attend worship faithfully and regularly, and we're not an absentee voter for the devil's sake, then we can realize that we're living for Christ and we're going to die in a wonderful spiritual condition. In Philippians 1, verse 20 and 21, Paul says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or whether by death. For me to live is Christ, location, and to die is gain. If we can realize that when David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, he was talking about location. My dwelling place is in the Lord. And everything I do, according to the Word of God, when I do everything the Lord commands us to do, when I leave sin out of my life, when I incorporate righteousness into my life, when I live godly and holy and righteously in this world, and I deny ungodliness and worldly lust, according to Titus 2, verse 11 and 12, then I'm giving a tribute to my Lord, and that's exactly what the Lord deserves. I don't deserve a pat on the back. The tribute is not to me, but it's to my Lord and my Savior for whom I'm living and preaching and teaching and serving and even, if necessary, dying for, that I could spend eternity with him. What a tribute, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Be ye free from the love of money, content with such things as you have. For himself has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may with good assurance understand that God is our helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me, because he's my shepherd. He's my helper. And I won't fear what man might try to come up in his imagination and creativity and invent such terrible torture weapons of some sort or kind that might try to rip the faith out of my heart. He can't do it. When I believe the Lord is with me on this side, living, and on the other side, when I pass through the veil called death, I'll be living more. I'll be more aligned in him when I cross that river of Jordan, or called death, as we sometimes say. When I realize what my condition is at death, I am giving tribute to my God, because it's at, in him, that I'm secure and I'm safe and I'm eternally bound for glory land by the grace and mercy of Almighty God. But again, another attribute that we can give to God through Christ is to have a heart of interrogation. I don't want to just believe something because somebody says so, because he may have a big name or he may have degrees behind his name. He may have written books. He may have built colleges. He may have had all kinds of human accomplishments. He may have all kinds of robes that he wears. He may have all kinds of preeminence among men. But what I want to do is be sure that I do not follow the way that seems right. I want to go to the way that is right. There is a way that seems right unto men, but the way thereof are the ways of death. When we go the ways of death, we're only paying tribute to the devil, who will give you a paycheck on the day of judgment in his eternal lake of fire and brimstone. But Jesus Christ promises something. For to live, I'm paying tribute unto God, because that means I'm not conceited. I'm not self-righteous. I depend on his grace and glory. I depend on his strength and power. I'm nothing without him, but in him location I'm complete. Colossians 2 and verse number 9. But again, if we follow the way that seems right, but ends up being the wrong way, we'll spend eternity with the devil and the wicked and the sinful and the ungodly of all the ages. Our whole life lived, whether it be 20 years or 99 years, will be a living tribute to the deceptive, ugly, mean, vicious power of the devil, and how little I esteemed Jesus Christ. But as a Christian, if I'm willing to deny the devil, as Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. He'll either love the one, hate the other, cling to one, despise the other. You and me, no one can serve God and mammon. We need to recognize that. Don't flirt with sin. Don't meddle with it. Don't tamper with it. Don't try to put one foot in Christ and one in the world, because your location won't be halfway in Christ and halfway in the devil. There is no such dwelling place. It's only in Christ that we have blessed assurance. Where will I spend eternity? Will I spend it with God in heaven? I believe if we ask ourselves that question and live in such a way as to answer that question by the Word of God, we will have been living a life that's at tribute to the Lord God of heaven. Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul said, I am begging you, I am pleading with you, I am beseeching you by the mercy of God that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto him, which is your spiritual service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, a complete metamorphosis from sin to righteousness. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, reverence and respect for the Word of God, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. A walking, talking, living demonstration that gives tribute to God in all that you do. Only then, I believe, by God's grace and mercy, he's going to say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. What a paycheck. Enter in thou into the joys of thy Lord. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father except by me. When we follow John 14, 6, we're going to be giving at tribute to the God of heaven and his Son, Jesus Christ, in such a way that's imprinted in indelible ink of love and mercy, that we will be saved. We will have followed the way of righteousness. We will have rendered obedience to the truth. And the Word of God says that we will then be blessed because we can come to the Father location in Him. No man come to the Father but by me. So the only way a human being can give attributes to God is in Christ, in the way of righteousness, by following the truth. And Jesus said that if we follow Him, we will be blessed. Will I spend eternity with God in heaven? 1 Peter 1:3. Peter said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, location. Who has blessed us with resurrection from the dead by His, with a living hope by His resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. To an inheritance that's undefiled, and which is undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us, and is incorruptible. Incorruptible. How wonderful a tribute God will then give to you and to me. The tribute then will be on God's part. God will allow us to enter heaven. God will take us by the hand. God will give us His grace and glory and welcome us into that pearly gates of the city that is the hope of all of us, the majesty and glory of heaven itself. If you're here tonight, you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, you can give your life, make your life be an attribute to God by simply obeying the gospel of Christ. Do you believe that Christ is the Son of God? John 8:24. Except you believe that I am, you die in your sin. And Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. And also in Romans 10:9-10, we are to confess with our mouth that we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and God has raised Him from the dead. And then, as Saul of Tarsus was told to do in Acts 22:16, arise, be baptized, washing away your sin. When you are baptized, that's a tribute of a sinner to God Almighty, because He's saying, I was a sinner, but now I'm a Christian. Thanks to location, I'm in Christ. I've been baptized into Him. If you haven't been faithful to the Lord, you need to repent and ask God for forgiveness. And you want the brethren to pray for you and with you at any time. You're subject to the invitation of Christ. In any way coming, we'll help you in any way we can while we stand and sing.